We're in a section of scripture that has a lot of judgment. I just want to say, I'm not pointing fingers, but somebody in here is doing something because God's angry with us because spring's not coming. I suspect it's Leaf fans. I suspect. I can't prove it. It's that or it's flat earthers. Either one, I'm not sure which it is. Wait, turn the person beside you and say, that wasn't very nice. Even in disagreement, we believe the best about each other. That was just a little joke. Once again, send all your emails to Jason Corto. He will love to receive those this week. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, buddy. You don't got enough going on right now. You need those too. So we're going to finish today in the Valley of Dry Bones in Ezekiel. And across the body of Christ, there's an absolute that we hold, and it is this: Jesus is coming again. It's not an opinion, it's not a feeling, it's an absolute belief that we have that Jesus is coming again. And there are different convictions and beliefs around how and when in Israel, in terms of ethnicity, the church, even is there going to be a rapture? Like, there's a ton of theological convictions that differ, but there's no difference that Jesus is coming again. And in Ezekiel chapter 37 and 38, I'm going to be sharing a convictional belief, and I honor differences within the body of Christ. So I'm going to share it from a perspective that I have, but I know that there are differences in the body of Christ, and I honor them. As we just said, in disagreement, we believe the best about each other. And where we agree is that Jesus is coming again. Ready to dig in? If you have your Bible, turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to do so. I know we're a little bit behind Heartstrong this week. This week was actually taught in Heartstrong. Deli taught this chapter. And so if you want to go back and listen to the podcast, whatever podcast subscriber you use, you can just type in Becoming Heartstrong. I mean, all of them were good this week, all the teachings this week, but Deli particularly did a wonderful job in unpacking Ezekiel 37. So he sees a valley of dry bones, and to frame Ezekiel 37, which is where you are now, hold your finger there, let me read this, and then I'm going to meet you back there. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and then 21 and 22 says this: Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed, everybody say breathe. Breathe. Okay, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It's the Spirit of God. And the man became a living creature. That's verse 7, 21 and 22. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and men never woke up from that. That's a little joke. And while he slept, he took one of his ribs and he closed it up with in its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And so if you go back to the book of Genesis, what you see is God's creative work, not just in the world in which we live or creating the world in which we live, but involved in humanity. And you see that the Spirit of God is involved, breathing life into humanity, and it causes it to come alive. How many of you know it's one thing to build something from scratch, it's another thing to fix something that's broken? So the story of scripture, you begin to see in Genesis right away that God creates. But in Exodus chapter 38, you were seeing that God doesn't only create, he can recreate. In other words, what we do, our rebellion, our brokenness, the things that cause death in us, doesn't have to be the end of the story, because God can do extraordinary things. He is just as creative in redemption and reconciliation and recreating, all the rewords, obviously, dot, 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 resurrection, right? God can work just as much there as he can here. Ezekiel 37 says this. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This is Ezekiel. And he brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. Everybody say in the middle of the valley. The middle of the valley is usually the lowest point, the deepest point. Metaphorically, it's usually the darkest point. In the middle of the valley, you can't see where you've been, but you also can't see the end. You're in the middle of it. This is where the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord brings him. And it says it's full of bones, not just a bone here or there. It's just full of bones. Prophetic vision he's seeing. Ezekiel sees the tribe of Judah through a prophetic vision. Dry bones, they indicate what might have been, but are no longer. What was once alive, now is dead. And God brings Ezekiel right into the middle of this current reality. Again, I'm gonna say it one more time. In the Spirit of the Lord, he brought Ezekiel into the middle of the valley. And this is our first significant moment, I think, to understand together today, which is this. That when we opened up this book of Ezekiel, God is in a very peculiar place because he's in Babylon. His presence is in Babylon. And they are used to his presence being in the temple. They are used to where God should be. They are a divided tribe in Babylon, and God is present, which is really interesting. But now you also begin to see that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, brings Ezekiel into the middle of this valley, which is this phenomenal reality for them there and for us today. In your darkest moment, you don't ever have to ask God, where are you? He is present with us. Because the Holy Spirit is not just around us, he dwells within us. And what we see here as a foreshadow in Ezekiel chapter 37 is that God is not just generally in Babylon. He's in the midst of a divided tribe that is dead like bones. God is right in the midst of it. He was present in the middle of the valley. And before God does anything with the bones, you and I need to learn to abide in this truth, because when you're in the dead center of a valley, it is the very place sometimes where it's struggling to trust God. Are you with me? God, do you care about me? God, do you see what it is that I'm going through? God, why am I here? Why aren't you? Those questions emerge in the middle of the valley. And I want to speak to some of you today a word from the Lord, which is that your feelings are powerful, but they are not all powerful. Your thoughts are fine, but sometimes they're not his thoughts. And the truth that supersedes your feelings and your thoughts is this, is that God is with you right now. You could abide in Christ even if you are not where you desire to be. You can abide. In fact, the revelation and the understanding that God is with me is always the place of transformation and change before you see the change. God, you're with me. When you woke up this morning, as soon as your eyes opened, I say this a million times throughout the year, did you know that as soon as your eyes opened, there was mercy available to you? Not because you earned it while you slept. You're not that good. Although you hope you slept well. No, it's because of the goodness of God. Says this, Ezekiel 37, verses 2-4. He led me. Everyone say, he led me. Really important words right there. So the Spirit of the Lord brings him to the center of the valley. Next, it says, he led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. Turn to the person beside you and say, you're very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? When God asks questions, he's not often looking for our intellect. He's not looking for our feedback. It's an invitation to trust him deeper. Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, O Lord God, you know. In other words, Ezekiel is saying what there? Can they live? If you want them to. I mean, in my own strength, no. But if whatever you want to do here, God, you can do. And then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O bones, or dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And so in the valley, God, I'm going to read this three times because I want you to understand it and I want you to get it. In the valley, God initiates a specific test. In the valley, God initiates a specific test. In your valley, I promise you, God will initiate a specific test. And it's not a test where he's like a bad teacher trying to fail you. I know there's no bad teachers. I'm talking hypothetically. It's not about that. It's not about they're trying to fail you. In fact, every good teacher, that's not what they're trying to do with the test. They're trying to see what you understand to grow you in an area. And this also is what God is trying to do. But in the valley, God initiates a specific test to develop Ezekiel, or as we like to call him, Zeke, His personal response to revealed truth. God is going to initiate a specific test. Listen, he's going to initiate a specific test in the middle of a valley to develop your personal response to revealed truth. Not your truth, God's. He's going to initiate a specific test in the middle of a valley where he desires to use you. He's going to initiate a specific test to see how you respond to his revealed truth. Well, Lord, I think these are dead bones and this is what I think should be done. Or when you look at Canada, this is what I think should be done. Interesting, important, okay. I'm less interested in what I think needs to be done. God, what is it that you want to do? God, when I look over this relationship, God, when I see this, when I see it, it's just like dead, dry bones. It once was, but now it no longer is. It once had potential, but now it seems to be defeated. God, in this area of my life where I once had a dream and now the dream has died, it's not what you can conjure up. It's in that moment, what is the step of obedience that God is specifically bringing to you to engage in response to his revealed truth? For Ezekiel, in the middle of the dry bones of the valley of dry bones, God brings him right into the center of it, right among it. And what he says to him is very, very clear. What he asks him to do is very, very clear. So four quick takeaways here, and we're going to keep going. How many of you know that Ezekiel is responsible for his obedience? In other words, what is he not responsible for? The outcome. There's nothing he can do to make these dry bones live. Nothing. They're dead, dry bones. Nothing. All he's responsible for is obedience, not the outcome. I'm responsible to forgive. I can't reconcile a whole relationship by myself. But I'm responsible for forgiveness. I'm responsible to honor and to trust God's word. He's responsible for the outcome. But here's how darkness works. The more your faith gets tied not to obedience, but to outcomes, the more your faith gets tied to outcomes, darkness will want to use your disappointment in outcomes to diminish your trust in God's word. Which means the moment God comes and says, hey, here's a moment of obedience for you to step into a moment to trust his word is greater than your word. It's an obedient step that comes to your life. If you don't trust that God's word is greater than your word or greater than their word or greater than that word, you will not walk in obedience to it. And you won't maybe see what God desires to do. See, darkness desires to use our disappointing outcomes to dissolve our trust in God's word, God's promises and his character. How many of you know that we're called to move in the opposite spirit often in the world? I just want to make it very, very clear. Moving with an opposite spirit in the world is always moving with the Holy Spirit. Always, never against. And you and I need to distinguish between where dry bones reside and where you are in the midst of them. I love it says in Ezekiel 37, verse 2, we read, it says, God led me. When we look at our world today, metaphor, this is their story then, this is Judah's story then, this is their story that we're borrowing from today. It's not our story, it's their story. But grafted in as Gentiles, as I'll say again in a minute, unless you are Jewish here historically or ethnicity Jewish, we're grafted in. So borrowing from their story for me and for you, there are a lot of dry bones around us. There are a lot of things that once were that are no longer. If you listen to the discourse around us, it's a lot like that. This once was, but it isn't any longer. Here's what I want you to know. You got to know where God is leading you into something versus where you just want to go. You have to distinguish the difference between those two things. There are some things that I want to get into, and the Lord has clearly said to me, not your fight. And I hear from others of you, like, you should get into that. 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 No, 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 no. We're a body. God's called you to get into that. He's leading you into that, not necessarily me. You got to know. You got to have clarity. There's lots. How many of you look at one thing in the world and it breaks your heart? Can I see your hands, please? There may be an assignment from the Lord for you to engage that, but you got to know where the Lord is leading you, and you'll never know where the Lord is leading you unless you learn to walk in obedience. Not in emotion, in obedience. I love in humility Ezekiel's response because it's revealing of his character. God's, again, his questions, can these bones live? Was not a request for Ezekiel's perspective. It was an invitation to align with God's presence and his power. Notice what happens after. Everyone whisper after, not before, after. I want you to notice what happens after he responds, like, God, only you know. Remember, I read a story in Genesis about God breathed into the dust or the dirt of the ground, or he took a rib. Ezekiel knows these stories, and now he's surrounded by dry bones, but he knows that God can do extraordinary things with matters that we can't touch. And so he says, God, it's up to you. You can, I can't. After all of this, Ezekiel 37, verse 4, it says, then, not before. After Ezekiel says, God, what do you want to do here? Can these dry bones live? If you want, what do you want to do? Really break it down. And then he says to him, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord, not hear my word, hear your word. Hear the word of the Lord. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, I want us to do something that's terrifying together, and it's only gonna work if we all do it together. Are you with me? Grab your cell phone. Turn the volume up as high as it can go. Some of you are gonna get really nervous, because here's what I'm gonna have us do simultaneously. I want you to open up. If you're not on any social programs, then just enjoy this moment. You can do this at home, although it's just gonna be your phone. Unless you're watching with someone, then you can do it together. Here's what I want you to do though. I want you to open up whatever social media platform, whether it's the TikToks, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whatever. And I want you to go to whether it's like the Reels. Exactly. You're a little early, but you're setting the tone. And what I want you to do on the count of three is I open up your social media, volume as loud as it can go, like some of you are doing, and just start to scroll. One, two, three, let's do it. So what happens in this moment? If the word of the Lord begins to come at a decibel level that is quieter than the noise of this world. Okay, you can stop because it can drive us all nuts. Some of you, that's the most faith you've ever had in church. Like, Lord, please let the reel that I go on, please let it be okay. Or else this is going to be a confessional moment. I don't know why the algorithm sent me this. I know why it sent you that. I know why it sent you that. I have no idea. Yes, you do. <laughs> 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, this is the noise of our soul. My question is, what is your strategy with the Spirit to be able to hear the Lord's voice over that? Why is it so hard at work to have a conversation? That is in the room with you. We used to listen charitably to one another. Now we listen combatively with one another. We used to listen to understand. Now we listen to argue. God does not bring Ezekiel into the middle of the valley of dry bones to give his opinion. God brings Ezekiel into the middle of the valley of dry bones so that the dry bones can hear the word of the Lord. We as the church, if we can't hear the word of the Lord, if we are caught in the words of this world, then all we are gonna do is parrot the words of this world, and the words of this world do not cause dead, dry things to come back to life, but the word of the Lord does. What is your strategy to quiet that? To hear the word of the Lord. Next time you're tempted to grab your phone this week and just doom scroll, just take a minute. Some of you, the best thing that you can do to grow in hearing the word of the Lord for your life is to fall in love with boredom again. You're too entertained. You got to fall in love with a bit of boredom. Like next time, this week, I promise you, keep your phone in your pocket and just stand in a line without it and just look like an absolute psychopath. And if you really want to level it up, talk to someone in the line. How you doing? Then the Lord said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. How many of you know opinions can be helpful? They really can. I appreciate your opinions, genuinely, no jokes. I mean, not all of them. I appreciate my own opinions, but not all of them. I don't even agree with what I say. I hear it come out of my mouth, and I'm like, I don't even believe that. Opinions can be helpful, listen. But in your life, if opinions or somebody's opinion has elevated to the place, the same place of the authority of God's word, I lovingly say to you, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You need God to do a recreative miracle in your life. And guess what? He can. Because even the things that once were and now we're dead in, he can make these things come alive, as we're going to read. In that or any of our valleys, here's all I want to say to you. God brings Ezekiel into the middle of the dry bones, right in the center of the valley. And I just want to show you, the last thing needed was more of Ezekiel. What was needed was more of the word of the Lord. The last thing that was needed was more of Ezekiel. When you're in the middle of a valley, the last thing that's often is needed is more of you. What you need is more of the Lord, and he is faithful to supply. God instructs Ezekiel after. He says, oh Lord, what do you want to do here? God instructs Ezekiel both in what to do. He tells him, I want you to prophesy, and specifically what to say. Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I want you to think about it for a minute. How much has Ezekiel prophesied in this book and nobody has listened? A lot. Don't you think Ezekiel wants to metaphorically in this vision go, yeah, but I also want to give them a piece of my mind. But God says to him, no. What I want you to do is I want you to prophesy. This is what I want you to do. And secondly, with clarity, this is what I want you to say. Not that, not that, not that, not this. Say that. Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Notice he doesn't even tell the dry bones what to do, just hear. Dry bones, you need to hear a word that is greater than my word. Dry bones, you got to hear a word that is greater than my thoughts, my opinions, and the things of this world. How many know that obedience tests from God are always clear? They're just never easy, but they're always clear. In fact, there are some of you right now that specifically know the step of obedience that God is asking you to take. It's just hard. And you're like, Lord, show me what you want me to do. And he's like, yeah, I did, and you know it. Show me something else you want me to do that is in alignment with what I want to do. I get that, man. Because what I want to do feels so good to me. Here's the problem. What I want to do that feels so good to me only creates conditions often for more dry bones. And God wants to bring change. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you. Genesis, that's God creating. Now he's beginning to recreate. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put Ruha, the Spirit of God, the breath of God into you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. The bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there was no sinews on them, and the flesh had come upon them, and the skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 5-8. Now, a quick eschatological end times conviction that I said at the beginning. In Isaiah chapter 66, verse 7, Isaiah prophesied a question: can a nation be born in a day? Now, Ezekiel sees a nation, the tribe of Judah, divided, but he sees a nation of dry bones beginning to rattle, to come together. And in May 1948, Israel became a nation state in a day after 2,000 years of exile. Biblically, last days began to ramp up in intensity. And in Genesis, we see God create. And in Ezekiel, we see that God recreates. And this is all foreshadowing what we are going to clearly see starting next week at Palm Sunday, going into the Easter season, that it is the word that became flesh. That as Jesus walks the earth, John says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And if you look at the gospels through that lens, it is the word of God speaking life in the midst of dry bones everywhere and seeing recreative miracles everywhere he went. And it even foreshadows that we as followers of Christ, we believe that from dead things, God can create new things. You may be here today and you're like, man, I have a dream and I failed at it, I died at it. If you are in Christ, you are a believer that dead things can come alive in Christ again. God can give you a new dream, a different dream. He can resurrect what is. And so again, we see in the New Testament, death to life. We see word becoming flesh. We see the Ruha, the Spirit of God indwelling believers at Pentecost. Ezekiel 39, verses 9 to 10. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, O son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come to the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. And I love the note, if you have an ESV study Bible, this is what it says regarding this. A fundamental lesson of the vision is repeated. When the Spirit of God is present, God's people are enabled to live. And you and I in Christ don't have the Holy Spirit just out there. He lives within us. And so there is the redemptive potential in order for us to live. This is the only basis on which hope can be held out to a despairing community. Life Center, we got to learn to speak life. More and more and more. And I want to be very clear here in the 2 minutes that I have remaining. Lord, we got to go fast. Speaking life must never be reduced to only speaking positivity. Some of you, God would bring you in the midst of it. What do you see around you? Dead, dry bones. No, I don't see that. Yes, see it. Faith is never a denial of reality. Faith is understanding that what is can be different because God is with us. It is where he is present, all things are possible. Speaking life must never be reduced to only speaking positively. Speaking life is articulating the life-giving word of God. What I'm saying to us as a church this morning is this, is in the church articulation, what I say is given a lot of hot air, but alignment isn't given enough. It's not just that I speak positive. I think it's important to speak positively. I think it's powerful to speak positively. That's powerful, but it's not always the all-powerful word of the Lord. That can be different. I can speak with positivity and it's a good thing, but it's not the same thing as speaking prophetically to something. That is speaking the word of the Lord over something. And again, it never denies what is. From this valley of dry bones, we see God's promise to Abraham. We see his heart for Israel. And then we see us as grafted in Gentiles as well. Ezekiel 37 verses 23, 27, and 28 says this. I want you to think if it sounds like anything in Revelation that I'm going to close when we read. They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols, with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them from all their backslidings. Aren't you glad that God can do recreative miracles in us? In which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. My dwelling place shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations of will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in the midst forevermore. And Revelation chapter 21, verses 3-6, that prophetically proclaims this word that has not yet come to pass that will, is this, John's revelation. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, with humanity. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. And he's gonna wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. No more dry bones. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things, all things, all things, all things, all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done, it is finished, it is complete. I am the Alpha, I am the Omega, I am the beginning, and I am the end. To the thirsty, I will give the spring of water of life without payment. Church, in the midst of a dry bones, what are you thirsty for? Isaiah was faithful to prophesy a Messiah would come and God fulfilled his word. And Jeremiah was faithful to prophesy redemption would come to a divided tribe and God was faithful to fulfill his word. And Ezekiel was faithful to prophesy that these dry bones can live again. And in May 1948, God was faithful to fulfill his word. And if God was faithful to fulfill his word through Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, won't he dot every I and cross every T in his prophetic words that are yet to come? Life Center, here's my question for you. Can these dry bones live? And our answer is not our thoughts, not our opinions, not our feelings. It is, O Canada, O friends, O family, O nation, O city, O province, hear the word of the Lord. Because where the word of the Lord is present, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Amen.